thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Tonight we're looking at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of my favorite books. I wanted to bring tonight, I made a list when I was living with Pastor Roger and Lee Gerard, so this is a long time ago. I still had black hair. I still had hair, period. And I remember reading through the Bible several times in the 3 or 4 or 5 year period, and I made this habit of marking down, I created categories within the book of Proverbs about wisdom and about folly and about adultery and about work and laziness, and I made this long handwritten list that I filled up 2 pages worth of little teeny tiny, that's how I knew it was young, because it was teeny tiny. Today I'm looking at it trying to read my own writing. It's so small I can hardly read it. But I made this whole list of Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. I love it. And I don't think there's probably any more greater jewel to us than the book of Proverbs. It's completely different than anything else that the Bible has to offer us. It's full of these wonderful sayings. Marianne can show some of these up here. They're truth-filled proclamations that are eternally wise. And at the same time, they're practical. They're practical, godly sayings that give us instruction and teach us and expose and provide example for our lives. More than any single piece of personal advice, similar to this, Proverbs 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And the next one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Or this, in the heart, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Thank God for that. Or this one in 8:35, for whoever finds me, this is wisdom speaking, whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. Or this one, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Or this one, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, and of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver, better than gold. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And this is one of my favorites. I've always loved quoting it. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. We laugh about that because dogs are so stupid, and we laugh because it's so gross, and yet there's lots of profound truth in that statement right there. The book of Proverbs is unlike the whole rest of the Bible. Some would even say, many scholars even believe that it doesn't fit or shouldn't fit in with the rest of the text of the Bible, because it's not like the rest of the Bible, and it isn't consistent with the content that we find kind of before and after the book of Proverbs. And it's true. From the book of Genesis up till now, we've been following this beautiful storyline of God's people, God's main characters, and we've been watching God as the hero of the story as he does these mighty exploits. And now suddenly we take a break from that. And as we read through the Proverbs, we find it's absent almost of spiritual things. We find it's almost absent of God. The name of God is found only 13 times in 31 chapters of Proverbs. Up till now, we've been reading about the kings and the priests and the prophets, about a religious way of life, about spiritual matters and the importance of those, as they're lived out in the lives of men and women. And we've based almost all of our studying, our teaching, around those ideas and those topics. And then suddenly we get to Proverbs, and there are no kings, or very few kings, no priests, no prophets, no spiritual lifestyle, no religious people are highlighted in there at all. It's void of all those things. And rather, the main ideas and the themes that we continue to find in Proverbs seem very secular to our tastes. It's not very spiritual at all, like the dog returning to his vomit. It's missing all of those things that we've come to expect up till now from God's Word. And yet it's one of the greatest jewels that God has placed in His Word. Because Proverbs is a deeply spiritual book. As you unpack it and as you go through it and as you study in it and as you memorize it and as you live it out in your lives. Because it's filled with the holiness of God that's lived out in our everyday living lives. It's filled with God's moments of holiness, the daily moments of holiness that we all live every day of our lives, that become the life that we claim at the end of our lives. When we look at the book of Proverbs, just a look at where it came from and what it is. The word proverb is actually a Latin word that's made up of two parts, pro and verba. That's the Latin word, is proverba. Pro means for, and verba means word. The combo means a word for every situation, a word for a situation, or a better way to say it is an appropriate word that fits the situation. A proverb is a general observation of life. It's a timeless truth that can be used in different situations and in many situations throughout our lifetime. When we look at the book of Proverbs, the question is, who wrote it? And we know, because of the first sentence, that Solomon wrote it. But then later on, as you get into it farther, you start to see some other names appearing there. So Solomon is the main writer, and he penned these Proverbs probably the middle part of his life. And then we see a few other segments from a person named Agur. We don't know who they are. I don't know who that is. Lemuel. And some of the writings are from Mesopotamia and probably some Egyptian proverbs. So all of these various authors wrote their Proverbs. There's a total of 900 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. No, I didn't sit and count them, though I was tempted. I really didn't have the time to do it, so I'll take my word for it. And if anybody comes back next week and has already counted and there's less than 900 or more than 900, don't tell me, because I don't want to know that now. So there's 900 Proverbs there. And so these collections of Proverbs were put together around the year 550 BC. If you were with us a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the book of Ezra, this means that these were written about 100 years, excuse me, they were compiled about 100 years before the Babylonian exile took place. So what that really means is that those Jewish people that were in exile in Babylon probably had the book of Proverbs. Probably didn't look exactly like what we have today, but it was the compilation that had taken place 100 years before. They had that book of wisdom then with them that they could look at while they were in captivity. Proverbs has impacted, as a result, generations and generations of men and women of God from the moment that it was all compiled, from the moment that it was penned. It's impacted people, and still to today in our public square, we hear these kinds of words. Many people don't even know that don't know the Lord and don't know the Bible. They don't know that these are Proverbs. A happy heart makes a face cheerful. Pride comes before the fall. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Spare the rod and spoil the child. Iron sharpens iron. Those are common statements that we hear in the public square still to today. The wisdom of these Proverbs has impacted lives, even those that don't know the Lord, for centuries. And what we find throughout all of the book is that Proverbs describes life, the life that you and I know, as it really is. There's no pretense there. It's not life in church. It's not a spiritualized, religious life that it presents, but it's life in the real. It's life at work. It's life in our homes and in our houses, on the street, in the office, at the shop. It covers all aspects of this life. It's very messy, confusing sometimes, overwhelming life that we live. As it considers how one should live, it presents that wisdom that we need to live throughout all of the segments of our life, not just our spiritual life. So everything that we've studied so far up till now looks at our spiritual life, the spiritual aspect of our lives, and what it looks like to worship God and to serve Him and to follow Him. And now Proverbs takes us on this, what we would think maybe is a detour, to look at how do we live life in the real. How do we act at work, and how do we treat our friends, and how do we treat our spouses, and what kind of words do we use and not use, and what's wise about how we spend our money and how we spend our time. Proverbs deals with all of those things and with every aspect of what our life is and the confusing parts of it. The Proverbs then aren't just for religious people. They're not for just godly people or God followers. Rather, these Proverbs are eternal basic principles for all people, for all times. All people and all times, no matter how you bake them. The Proverbs have stood the test of time for millennia and continue to come out true, situation after situation after situation, regardless of a person's cultural background, regardless of a person's ethnic background or their cultural background, their racial background, excuse me, no matter whether a person is male or female, and no matter how old they are, if they're young, middle-aged, old, senior citizen, wrinkled and dying. It's no respecter of persons. In fact, when we look at the opening prologue, and I'm just going to read it to you, you can look at it with me if you have your Bibles with you, Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, it starts out this way. So this is the beginning of Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining in wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, for giving knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we see in this verse that God has given us these proverbs no matter what age we're at. To the simple or the naive, it gives that person prudence. To the young man, gives him knowledge and discretion. To the wise man, it gives them increased learning. To the man of understanding, it gives him wise counsel. And so all of us fit into one of those categories, and we always will. And what that means then is that Proverbs, the wisdom that's there, is applicable for all of our lives. There isn't a way that we can somehow collect all of the wisdom that we need and then we're good to go. By 35, I had everything I needed. That's not how it works. We continually need wisdom to live this life because every situation, every season brings a whole new dynamic that we're unprepared for and that we can't handle in our own wisdom. We need God's wisdom. We need it whether we already have it or not. So there's no such place as, I've got enough, God. Thank you, but I don't need any more today. The Proverbs remain true in every situation for every person. There aren't somehow situations or conditions or circumstances that can somehow be created in our lives that set outside of the truth of the Proverbs that would give us a different outcome. What we see in Proverbs is consistent in every area of our lives because we've seen it and we experience it and we know it as truth. So the question is, what is the great purpose of Proverbs? Why did God give us the book of Proverbs? Well, we just got through reading it. This is the only book in the Bible that actually states to us why it was written. No other book in the Bible tells us why it was actually written. Proverbs tells us, and it was stated right there in the prologue, that the purpose of the book is to lead men, women, and children, people of all sorts and of all ages, to lead them to wisdom. And the first step of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Then the rest of the book describes what wisdom is to us. After that first prologue statement, then the rest just dives into what wisdom is, how it looks and how it sounds and what it feels like and where wisdom comes from and how we get it and how we keep it and not lose it. It's often looked at in comparison to what foolishness looks like. So foolishness and wisdom are often compared and contrasted side by side. Along the way, as we go through the book of Proverbs, we see most of life's important subjects are covered right there in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom and folly, pride and humility, love and lust, wealth and poverty, work and leisure or laziness, masters and slaves, bosses and workers, husbands and wives, friends and relatives, life and death, righteousness and wickedness, marriage and adultery. We see all of the everyday matters that make up our lives. In fact, it doesn't say very much about priests and prophets and kings. There's not the normal sacred and secular divide that we find in all of the other books of the Bible. And because there isn't that secular and sacred divide, and because there isn't the talk of religious life and the priests and the prophets and the kings, this tells us something very important about God. It tells us that God cares about our everyday life. Our everyday life, the things that we have to put up with all day long, our jobs and making money and taking care of our families and working in our houses and working in our jobs and driving from this place to that place, those things matter to God. The whole book of Proverbs proves to us that this is what God is all about. He's not just about our worshiping life. Yes, that's important to him, but that's not where he spends all of his time. This is the stuff that makes most of us realize that God is interested in the boring and the mundane everyday parts of our lives. We look at our lives as boring and mundane, the things that we do in repetition daily, shoveling the snow and cleaning up the dog messes time after time after time and feeding our pets and the things that feel mundane and empty, God cares about. In spite of its appearance, the book of Proverbs is not disconnected from God at all. Because God is not distant, he's present. He's not absent in our lives, he's here. And he's deeply committed. He's not disinterested in our work. He's not disinterested in our homes. He's not disinterested in our lives. In fact, he makes our work and our homes a holy place. This makes our work and our homes a holy place because God is with us 24/7. And the riches of the wisdom that he gives us to live those mundane part of our lives are scrolled there right in the book of Proverbs. And it indicates to us that God wants to be involved in those very, what we seem as meaningless and mundane part of our lives. God doesn't just watch us when we come to church on Sundays or when we're worshiping him or when we're reading our Bibles, when we're praying. He watches us and he's with us in every part of our lives. That makes our work holy. It makes our homes holy. It makes our schools holy. It makes the streets that we drive on holy because God is involved in those areas and those parts of our lives, and he's always watching, and he's always with us. when we're washing dishes and mowing the lawn and watching the grandchildren and refilling the sugar jars, all those mundaniest things of this mundane life. This is the stuff that's holy to the Lord. This is the stuff that He thrives in, and that He's given us wisdom to walk through every situation that impacts our lives. Because He is the wisdom that we need. He is the wisdom that we need. He's not what we want. He's what we need. And we need Him. Jesus said it best, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's what God has given us the book of Proverbs for, that we could have the fullness of the life that He's died to give to us. And Jesus is that wisdom that we need. We need wisdom. We do not have it on our own. And anybody that's walked down the road of life long enough can say very clearly, I don't have wisdom. Except maybe the fool who says, I don't need wisdom. But if you're that person that's not the fool, you realize, I don't have it. And God says that that is the beginning of wisdom. To not be wise in our own eyes. To fear the Lord enough that we would say, I'm not wise, God. I need help here. I need your wisdom. I don't have what it takes to be able to do what you've called me to do. And as a result, as we go through the book of Proverbs, we learn that a person with wisdom avoids bad company. They help the poor. They watch their words. They escape bad relationships. They know the impacts of adultery and unfaithfulness and fornication. They honor and they love their parents. They keep their hearts pure. They don't allow themselves to go into debt. They learn how to manage their wealth in a wise way. And this is the wisdom that God wants to give to us. It's the wisdom that He has filled every nook and cranny of the book of Proverbs with. It's packed out with 900 Proverbs that impact every part of our lives, and He's offering it to us to take and to make our own. And this is the thing that I want to focus on as we kind of wrap up our time and as we look at the rest of Proverbs. Wisdom is there for us to take, if we'll take it. We can gain wisdom. We can increase our wisdom scale. But we can also lose it. Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon personifies the essence of wisdom as a woman. And she says this to all of those who will listen. She says, I love those who love me. Those who look for me, find me. So this is what wisdom says to us. I love those who love me. And those who look for me are going to find me. It's there if we'll take it. It's there if we make it our own and we proclaim it as our own. A little bit later in chapter 2, Solomon charges his son. He says, he literally charges him to spend the rest of his life hunting for and searching for wisdom and to make every effort to find and to make his own wisdom. He says it this way, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and you cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as if you're looking for silver and you search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Message version says it this way, good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and then guard them with your life. Collect them and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the word of the world of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority, make it your priority. and you won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt. Believe me, before you know it, fear of God will be yours. You'll have come upon the knowledge of God. And here's why. God gives out wisdom free. Is plain spoken in knowledge and understanding. He's rich. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and the sincere. You see, God is giving us his wisdom. He's wanting us to take it, but it's not low-hanging fruit on the tree. Did you all hear me on that one? God's giving it to us, but he's not just laying it as low-hanging fruit where anybody can walk along and pick it off. If that was the case, we'd all be a lot more wise. But this is the crux of wisdom. God's given it to us, and then he challenges us to mine for it, to go digging after it, to search after it, to press in until it's ours, to make it our own, and to gain more, and then to guard it with all of our hearts. See, this is the thing. I was sitting with a man in my office a couple weeks ago who's lost his way, and he's like, I don't know what God's calling is on my life. I don't know why I'm here, what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I was just sharing with him, God knows what you're supposed to be doing. God's going to give you that answer. He's going to tell you what to do and how he wants you to spend his life, your life, the life that he gave to you. And he said to me, well, I prayed. I said, you need to pray. You need to ask God. He said, I prayed. I asked God, and he hasn't shown me. And I said, no, you don't get it. You have to pray, and then you have to pray, and you have to keep knocking, and you have to keep digging, and you have to keep searching. And God's going to give it to you. He's not going to hide it from you. It's not a secret. He's going to give it to you. And this is God's challenge to us when it comes to the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that he offers us there in every nook and cranny. There's more than abundant wisdom for all of us. It hasn't run out. It hasn't disappeared. It's not been all mined out and somebody else has got it and now we don't get any. It's there if we want it. If we will take the time to dive in and press in and make it our own and continue to search after it like a lost treasure and to make that the priority in our lives, to remove everything else that's distracting us from going after that. See, this is the problem. We get comfortable in our lives. In fact, as Americans, we've perfected the avenue of going after comfort and making our lives peaceful and comfortable and easy and relaxing. And what happens is that we lose sight of the greater gifts that God has for us, that he wants us to lay aside those. He wants to pop us up out of our comfy seats and make us uncomfortable and make us press into the greater things that he has for us. But we have to do the work. It's there if we'll do the mining. It's there if we will dig in and find out what he has for us. And then I guarantee that if you keep knocking and pushing and asking and digging, that you'll find it. Why? Because God promises to give it to us. Wisdom is there in abundance. James says it this way, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God. If you lack wisdom, ask God. Well, we all lack wisdom. Even the wise man lacks the fullness of wisdom. We don't have the full amount that God wants for us. So we all need to be asking for wisdom. We can't say, well, I've got enough now. I'm good to go, God. We all lack that wisdom. If we ask if we ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, it will be given to him. So God promises us, if we ask, he will give it to us. But we can't just ask once. And we can't just assume that he's going to pour it into our lives. It's not low-hanging fruit. It's a higher value commodity. God says, I've got it for you, but it's not going to be the easy stuff that I just pour into your life. You're going to have to dig for it. And man, when you find it, you find gold. When you find it, you find the way to live this life and to find the fullness of life that God has for us. See, God has the greatest life for us, but we can't do it without his wisdom. We need his wisdom to be able to find the fullness, the joy, the peace in life, the true peace that God has for us is found as we appropriate wisdom in our lives. And the last thought is this: wisdom can be lost or gained. Solomon gained lots of wisdom. He asked the Lord for wisdom. When God asked him, "What do you want from me, Solomon?" Solomon was wise enough to say, "I need wisdom. I can't govern all of these people by myself." And God gave him more wisdom than he'd given any man before. Any man or woman before, Solomon had it. And then he lost it. We watch him as he goes through his life. He starts making bad decisions, bad choices. He doesn't guard what's in his heart, and it's stolen from him. The wisdom that you have now, it's not going to be with you forever if you don't guard it. We've got to guard our hearts. That's God's charge to us. It's a profound charge. We can gain it and we can lose it, but we have to keep mining for it. And Proverbs is the best place to start finding that wisdom and appropriating it in our lives and finding the life that God has for us. Marianne, I don't know, were you able to get the DAB stuff up there? I sent you an email. Did you see that by any chance? Okay, so I'm just going to verbally tell you. It's not going to be up on the board. So one of the best ways to study and to learn and to be in the Word of Proverbs over and over is through a thing that I've been using for several years called the Daily Audio Bible. And if you want to write this down, you have to be semi-techie, or if you have a techie friend, it's not super techie, but this is great stuff. Because he reads the book of Proverbs every day, and what he does is he starts on the first of the month reading Proverbs 1, and the second of the month reading Proverbs 2, the third Proverbs 3, and all the way through Proverbs 30 or 31. And so every day you have a whole new chapter of Proverbs that you can listen to. And so if you go to thedailyaudiobible.com, that's all one word, and you click on Listen Now. So if you want to just listen on your computer, you click on Listen Now. It'll pop up a window where you can listen to the Daily Audio Bible, or you can listen to Daily Audio Bible Kids, or you can listen to Daily Audio Bible Proverbs, or Daily Audio Bible Psalms. So there's Proverbs. And it's a great way to go through the Proverbs and to listen to that every day. Another way, if you want to use your iPad or your telephone or something that you download the podcast, you go to the iTunes store, type in Daily Audio Proverb, you click on the one that is the proverb symbol, click subscribe, and then every day it will load a brand new episode, the newest podcast for that day. If you want to be old-fashioned, that's fine. Just grab your Bible. What's the word? Better word for old-fashioned? Retro, traditional. Sorry, I really apologize. That was old school. That was the word I was looking for. Not old-fashioned, old school. I'm old school. So take your Bibles, and on the 1st of September, read chapter 1. On 2nd of September, chapter 2, and so on. It's a simple read. It's an even simpler listen, but it gives us the opportunity to be in those words of wisdom again and again, over and over in our lives.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.